Changed the name of the talk from PCRS to Partner Services since CDC is changing the name. So Partner Services, which was formerly called PCRS, Partnerification and Contact Tracing, are longstanding components of public health programs to control sexually transmitted disease, including HIV. However, in 2001, only approximately a third of people diagnosed with HIV in high morbidity parts of the United States were contacted by health departments to receive Partner Services. However, recent CDC prevention issues have placed greater emphasis on partner notification, and the soon-to-be-released revised Partner Services guidelines will recommend that all persons newly diagnosed with HIV receive these services. Despite this, there is very little controlled data on the efficacy or effectiveness of Partner Services for HIV. To date, there is only a single randomized controlled trial that's been published that was conducted in North Carolina in the early 1990s. And found that DIS efforts resulted in more partners being notified than patient referral alone. However, the study enrolled only 74 people, which was 14% of those newly diagnosed in North Carolina during that time. At roughly the same time, an observational study conducted in Colorado compared outcomes in patients who chose patient referral versus those who chose to have provider referral, in other words, those who elected to have the DIS notify partners for them. That study found that a larger proportion of partners were tested with provider referral than patient referral. But this was not a randomized trial, and it's uncertain how much of the observed difference could have been a consequence of bias and ascertainment as opposed to true differences in outcomes. In contrast to these studies, a survey of people with HIV conducted nationally in the mid-1990s looked at patient-reported partnerification outcomes in those who were tested anonymously and confidentially, with the assumption that people who were anonymously tested did not receive partner services. That study showed no difference in the number of partners who were notified between those tested anonymously and confidentially. However, that study did not directly measure whether people received partner services or not. And it's not clear that those who were anonymously tested didn't receive them, nor is it clear that those who were confidentially tested did receive them. We were interested in this study and elected to address it within the context of a prevention and positive survey. This is an annual survey undertaken by Public Health Seattle King County as part of our ongoing behavioral surveillance efforts. The surveys are done annually during a two-week period in the spring. And the study population is comprised of a random sample of patients with scheduled appointments in our HIV clinic at Harborview Medical Center. The Harborview STD HIV clinic is the largest HIV clinic in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. It follows approximately 2,000 people with HIV out of the roughly 8,400 people living with HIV in King County, Washington. Our exclusion criteria were the inability to speak English, being too ill, having an unscheduled visit, and people were only eligible to be randomly selected one time during the study period. So if you had multiple visits, you did not have multiple opportunities to be randomly selected. The survey is an anonymous, self-administered paper and pencil questionnaire. Is comprised of yes and no and multiple choice questions. It takes about 10 minutes to complete, and we pay patients $5 for completing it. So this is the study flow. Overall, 359 people were randomly selected to be approached. Of them, roughly one-third didn't show up for their clinic visit and were not consequently included. 29 people were excluded, mostly because they didn't speak English. A total of 208 people offered study participation, of whom 96% agreed to participate, though some people did not answer all the partner notification questions and were excluded. So we had a total survey population of 168 people. This just shows you the study characteristics. The population was 73% men who have sex with men or bisexual men. 70% of the people were over 40 years of age. 67% of the people were white, which is consistent with the demography of HIV in King County, Washington. This was a poor population with 65% of the people earning less than $15,000 per year, and 50% of the people were diagnosed with HIV more than 10 years earlier. Overall, 95 of 168, or 56% of the people, reported that they had received partner services. There was no variability in this by gender, sexual orientation, age, or year of HIV diagnosis. Now here we're looking at the percent of people with HIV who report notifying at least one sex partner by whether they reported that they received partner services from the health department. 66% of people who received partner services reported they notified at least one partner, compared to 46% of people, or 48%, who denied receiving those services, and this was statistically significant. Here we're looking at the distribution of the numbers of partners notified by whether the case received partner services, with the red bars being those who received those services and the yellow bars where they did not. Overall, the median was 1 versus 0, comparing the two groups, but the means were very similar. We have very wide ranges on this, as you can appreciate. But comparing the two distributions with the Wilcoxon test, this was statistically significant. This is looking at the percentage of people who reported that one of their partners was newly diagnosed with HIV based on whether they received partner services or not. 14% of people who received partner services said that one of their partners was newly diagnosed with HIV, compared to 8% among those who did not. This wasn't statistically significant, but reflected a small number of people. We were interested in what other factors might have predicted success in notifying sex partners. Here we're looking at a variety of demographic factors. What I would point out is really none of them were significantly associated with the likelihood of notifying at least one sex partner. So we saw comparable rates among men who have sex with men, women, and heterosexual men. There was no association with race, no association with age, nor was there an association from the time since the patient's HIV diagnosis. This slide is looking at education and income. While we didn't see an association between the likelihood of notifying at least one sex partner and education, among that small group of people who earned more than $30,000 a year, they were more likely to notify at least one partner or at least to report them. We were also interested in a variety of other risk factors in the association of success with partner notification. Here we're looking at the percentage of people with HIV who reported notifying at least one partner based on their risk in the year preceding their interview. So the year at the preceding the survey. There was no association with use of methamphetamine. People who received or who successfully notified partners were not more likely to tell partners their HIV, people who successfully notified partners were not more likely to tell partners their HIV status. They were comparably likely to engage in non-concordant UAI, which is to say unprotected anal or vaginal intercourse with a partner of unknown or discordant HIV status. And they were not more likely to have more sex partners. We were also interested in was there any effect of receiving partner services on subsequent risk behaviors? There did not appear to be so for the most part. So we didn't. There was comparable likelihood of telling all of your sex partners in the preceding year if that you were HIV positive. No differences in non-concordant unprotected anal or vaginal intercourse in the last year among those who received partner services and those who did not. There was a slight trend toward people reporting that they were more likely to contact a sex partner to tell them that they were HIV positive in the last year among those who received partner services. So this is, you may not have told the person you were HIV positive at the time you had sex with them, but you elected to subsequently contact them and tell them that you were HIV positive. So in summary, people who receive partner services are significantly more likely to report that they notified at least one sex partner or needle sharing partner that they had tested HIV positive. There was a trend toward more people reporting that a partner tested HIV positive after being notified. No demographic or behavioral factors were associated with notifying partners, and we saw no evidence that partner services influenced other subsequent risk behaviors, though there was this interesting association, it seemed, between notifying partners after sex that was more common among people who had received those services. There are, of course, limitations to this, probably first and foremost the generalizability of the study. This is a small study of a single clinic population in Seattle, Washington, and most people were diagnosed more than 5 years ago. These are self-reported outcomes. And we have little data on how many partners were diagnosed as a result of partner services and when they would otherwise have been diagnosed in the absence of those services. Despite that, I think these data support an expansion of partner services for HIV. But the magnitude of the benefit associated with those services remains ill-defined. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on this, Bob Wood, Bob Harrington, Jim Kent, Mark Fleming, and Carol Glenn. Thank you very much. Why did some people not notify any sex partners? So remember, these data our cross-sectional anonymous survey data on what did you do when you were diagnosed with HIV. They're not an assessment of what our DIS did. So we don't really have questions like, why didn't you do it in this? This is a very, very simple survey. You know, to do an anonymous self-administered survey, you want yes and no, check the box kind of stuff. So there's not a lot of free text in this. So I couldn't answer that really. Well, from this survey, I can't tell you that. Typically, the way things certainly work in King County now is we pursue all cases at the time of their initial report. So most people are diagnosed within the several months following their initial diagnosis, and preferably weeks, but that's sometimes hard to pull off depending on where they were diagnosed.
Okay. Thank you.